Blog Talk Radio.
Last time you heard from us. Okay, so Class B, a dark horse for Class D. Okay, so since I didn't pick Country Day for my shoe-in, I'm going to pick them as dark horse to make it to the breast one. All the pieces are there. All the pieces are there. They suffer some tough losses, but in the league, if you think about it, Kayla Webb, Cameron Clegg, Tyler Bennett, the Destiny Pitts, it's really set up for success. Of course, and you have a good coach like Coach Orlando, the all-time winningest coach in Michigan history. It's set up for them to go and for him to win his 11th ring and be the Phil Jackson of the MHSAA. Haven't really got to see them. I say this is the year Ben Harbor makes it to the Breast One. Put me down for it. And if not them, who knows?
Part of this danger, I'm going to tell you why. They're guard heavy. People look at them and they say, well, they may, you know, they lack the size to go deep, but if they get in the transition game, it's a problem. Especially if they hit the three ball. If they hit the three ball,
It definitely added motivation to us because I'm such a competitive person and I really hate to lose. So, you know, anytime I lose, it just makes me even want to work harder and get better at basically just everything, all the little things. So I think that definitely motivated us because he was hurt after that game. And even though our coach said we played good, we all knew, like, deep down inside, like, we could have won. So it really hurt us, but we just got to build off of that and just forget about it.
What's up, everybody? We here. Myself and my friend Eric Thomas is here with the first episode of With the Last Shot. Last Second Shot podcast. Eric, what's up?
Yo, it's finally here, man. We finally live, brother.
All right, so if y'all been following us on Twitter, which we know most of our early listeners do, it was supposed to be Storm the Court podcast, but I hit Eric up today like, yo, somebody just started a podcast called Storm the Court. So salute to them fellas. They have a pretty good podcast over there. So we the Last Second Shot podcast, and we about to get it popping. Got a good show going on today. Eric, what's up with you?
No much, man. Just ready to talk some basketball, man. Talk some girls hoops, man. You already know.
Yes, sir. So if you've been listening, you know, you might just be tuning in. But we started off with the last time we did this. We ended the regular season off with a podcast last year. It was kind of a hit. So we're deciding to do this thing every week. So those were some sound bites from our last podcast. And I feel pretty good with saying I said Country Day was the dark horse to make it to the Breslin. And they stepped up. They stepped up and won. actually ran through some good teams, went through Goodrich, made that look fairly easy, got to Haslett and then ended up winning the championship. So that was one takeaway that we had last year. What was your prediction? What was something you took away from last year?
Man, last year I was surprised by the ease of the Country Day win over Goodrich. That surprised me the most. I expected that game to be a little bit more competitive. You know, still had Country Day probably winning the thing, but I thought it was going to be a little bit more competitive than what it was. I mean, Destiny Pitts had a beautiful performance. You know, I think she had 28 that night. I mean, made it look, like you said, really easy. And Kayla Webb stepped up to the plate as well. I think she added in, I think, 18 or 19. It just looked flawless. It just looked flawless. I mean, it was no surprise in Class A. We all knew Marion was going to repeat as champions, so there was no surprise there. The surprise of Class A, I think, was Saginaw Heritage. You know,
yeah,
them making it that far, led by two freshmen in Jalen Richardson and JC Bignall.
Wow. It's interesting that you would say that, because we have the AAU coach of Jalen Richardson. He's going to be on soon with us in about 5 minutes, Jeff Taylor. But it was really interesting to see that they went that far. They played just as good as you could expect a young team to play. It was really the perfect storm when you think about how their young girls who I think are their best players. You know, I hope I'm not out of the line by saying that, but their young girls played to the best of their abilities and really put them on their back and got them there. I think it's going to be interesting to see them this year.
It will be interesting seeing them, you know, go through the same process again this year. And I think they're only going to get better. So it's kind of scary, you know, they got there as freshmen and they're only going to get better. You know, you're going to see a better Jayla, you're going to see a better Jace, you're going to see a better Saginaw Heritage. And if I'll start out the show with a, I don't think it's a bold prediction, but just a prediction, I think they go back.
Can go back. What wasn't a surprise to some people was St. Ignace winning Class D. It seems like just about every year we're talking about them being at the Breslin, no matter if it's Class C or Class D. But they went back down to Class D last year, and they end up winning their second championship in 4 years. So I think that's going to be something to look out for. You know, you don't actually get to see them because they're in that northern part of the state. But whenever you do see them at the Breslin, which seems like it's almost every year, it is something else. They played good team ball, and they beat some good teams over the years. So I think that was an interesting way to end last year in Class D. And then in Class C, Calumet beat Flint Hamady, which, you know, those are two teams where I had really high hopes for Flint Hamady, which was the Breslin at the beginning of last season. And then they did good. I didn't know much about the Calumet team going into the final, but they showed up and they won that game.
Oh yeah, they showed up and showed out, man. I mean, Hamady, you know, led by Jaleesha Terry, and congrats to her for signing to St. Bonaventure. Yeah, they showed up and showed out against a good Hamady team, man. I mean, like you said, they were kind of the low-key team of that class, so, you know, not a lot of people knew much about them. And I think they had a fairly young head coach, which makes their story a little bit more interesting. That they, you know, beat a team with an experienced coach and an experienced program, you know, with, you know, some young kids and a young coach behind them.
Definitely. It's so interesting because watching the playoffs last year in Class B and Class C and Class D, you saw a lot of competitiveness. And you saw some games where it's like, wow, this should be a state championship. and so I don't know. I've had this conversation with you off the air where it's like, we get so caught up in the geographic where it's like, there should be probably actual seeding in the MHSAA. Cause I mean, when you think about it, Southfield Lathrop ran into Marion way too early. I mean, of course, it's a regional final, and some people don't consider that early. But, I mean, you're looking at two of the top four teams in the state meeting in the regionals, whereas I think that's probably a great Breslin Center matchup.
I mean, yeah, I mean, you know, to have them meet up that early, I mean, it's been – you know, you go back to, like you said, we talked about off-air, you go back to past years. I think it was 2013 2014, actually, excuse me, where you had three of the top five teams in one region. I think it was Mercy, Grosse Pointe South, and Martin Luther King, all in one region. And, you know, those teams are potentially, all three of them make up a with one more added, a Bresnan Center matchup. And you have those teams meeting in the regionals instead of in East Lansing, where I think everybody had predicted those teams to be.
Definitely. Now, as I said earlier, we're going to get into our first ever guest on the Last Second Shot podcast. He's a great guy, coach and director of the Michigan Storm, and he's taking some time out to be with us today. Just want to thank him so much, Mr. Jeff Taylor. Hold on, I'm getting him on. Mr. Taylor, how are you?
Doing well. How are you, sir?
Man, we're doing great. Thank you for being on with us.
Good. I want to, first of all, thank you for the opportunity and the invitation. But, you know, congrats on the podcast, and I'll just say it's great when people are, you know, shine a spotlight on girls basketball around the state. So, you know, we really appreciate you.
Oh, man, thank you.
Thank you so much, Jeff.
So, Jeff, again, like I said, this is the Last Second Shot podcast. And basically, as you alluded to, it's all about girls basketball. And so you are the director of the Storm. You all just finished up what I would consider a very good season. So what's your goals going forward?
You know, I'll tell you, we've been at it for a few years now. Didn't envision when we first started that it would take the direction that it has. But, you know, each year we try to stick to the same principles. And, you know, we want to make sure that we're in it for the right reasons. We want to make sure that the primary focus is to attempt to use basketball as a vehicle to provide young ladies with opportunities to do something that they love, but more importantly, in the final analysis, teach them some life lessons along the way, and to allow them to have the opportunity and the exposure to earn a scholarship and to get a free education. So, you know, we're going to stick to those principles, you know. And so, although recently we've had, you know, some real good success on the court, but, you know, we always have to step back after every season and evaluate whether or not we're in it for the right reasons and whether we're still approaching it, you know, in the way that we did 5 or 6 years ago when we started and couldn't find a win. And so, you know, in that regard, the goals are simple. You know, we're going to keep, you know, doing what we do and, you know, be who we are. And that has worked to the extent that now we're getting young ladies from, you know, Ohio and Indiana and various other places wanting to be a part of our program. And so we try to stay humble about that, but at the same time, it comes with a lot of responsibility. So it looks like going forward, we're in it for the long haul because we're getting emails and calls from kids as young as, you know, 8 years old. So I'll probably be 70 by the time I wrap this up, man.
Wow.
Yeah. You guys just got the Adidas sponsorship. How much does that change the tournaments that you attend? Is it bigger or is it, you know, how does that, the level of play change? How does the tournaments change?
Well, you know, we've always attempted to, you know, play in some very competitive events, some of the biggest ones in the country. That won't change. The Adidas requirement, which we're proud, you know, to have, the Adidas sponsorship, you know, when you're one of 32 teams in the United States and Canada, when there's literally thousands upon thousands of teams competing, that was huge for us. And that said that we were doing something right. But again, that's going to be a component of who we are and what we do and what brand we represent. But in terms of the core values, you know, those can't change because, you know, at the end of the day, they came to us for a reason, and they apparently like the formula that we had and the product that we had, so we'll keep doing that. But what it's going to require of us this year is we're going to have to – we'll be playing in a pretty big event in Dallas, Texas in July. We'll be in Indianapolis at the beginning of the year in April. They've got two evaluation periods this year in April as opposed to what they've had in the past. They've only typically had one. So this will be new for all AAU teams. And so, you know, everyone will feel this process out, the first evaluation period. So we'll end up being in Indianapolis on that one. We'll subsequently go to Dallas at the beginning of July, and then we'll conclude with the Adidas National Championships in Atlanta at the end of July. And so that should be a very competitive event. I had the fortune of playing some very, very good Adidas teams. In fact, one this summer that was outstanding. San Antonio's finest. They got some of the best players in the South, and young ladies who are going to be committing if they haven't already committed to some great programs. And so, yeah, the level of competition will not decrease by any stretch. I think the visibility, although we've been a pretty visible profile, certainly in the regional sense in the last few years and in the last year or so, nationally, we've gotten some pretty good national coverage. But I honestly think that it's only going to enhance our brand because, you know, when you're, you know, one of 32 teams participating in some big events with a lot of coaches there and you're getting prime placements on courts, you know, I think would only enhance, you know, the spotlight that will be shown on us. And so we've got to be ready for it.
All right. And so now today was National Signing Day. We see that you – we mentioned it earlier in the beginning that you had a few kids signed today. Is that a great feeling as a coach to know that, like, you know, more and more every year you have more kids committing to, you know, great universities? Miss Terry, she went to St. Bonaventure in the Atlantic 10, and you had the Bello Twins at Minnesota. You know, how does that feel to know that that keeps growing every year?
I tell you, you know, when you get a relationship with these families, and I'm a father of a young lady who's 21 years old now. She's a senior at the University of Illinois, and we have to write the checks every month. And so to know that these young ladies have been rewarded and blessed with the opportunity to continue to do something they love and to be able to be paid to do it, in a sense. You know, they're not having to pay for an education, and it's a tremendous feeling. That is what the payoff is. And this year, on Coach Love's roster of our eight juniors, all eight will play college basketball. All of them will be in a position where their families aren't burdened, you know, with the financial component. And so it's great. I mean, it really is. It just gives you a feeling of, you know, satisfaction, because, you know, there's not every moment on the journey is easy, and you see kids doubting themselves. You see that, you know, people wonder if it's going to happen for them, but to see it happen for them and then to know that, you know, they literally punched their ticket, that's the reward for us. I mean, because this is not only a volunteer position and not only a position where you obviously are sacrificing a lot of time, but, you know, hey, we're spending our own money to go out of town with these kids and, you know, get hotel rooms and, you know, pay for gas and vans and things like that. And so, you know, when you see them rewarded, that is the payoff for us. That is really what it's all about.
Definitely.
Okay.
Now,
you want to go ahead, Darren?
I just wanted to ask just a follow up question about the Adidas circuit. Now, do you have any players that, like, you're just eager to get out there because you know, like, it's just gonna be really good for them, or like some kids that we just need to watch out for
on the Adidas circuit? Let me just say this. I'm comfortable with our entire roster. We've got some special young ladies that have joined the program. We've got some young ladies that have reached out in anticipation of attempting to join. We've got just a slew of kids on the roster. We've got one young lady who she's played up with us last year, Kiara Crockett, who is just a remarkable young lady, just in terms of her demeanor and her spirit, her work ethic. And so I'm excited for her. She played up with Jaleesha's team this year and had to, you know, sit behind some players, and, you know, she's just a remarkable kid. She'll be at North Farmington this year. We've got young ladies who, in our 2018 class, obviously, and by the way, that 17 class is going to surprise a lot of people. They're going to be very good, and I think that we actually, you know, joined forces with a couple of guys who are with a different organization, the Sting, and those guys have been great. They brought over Adrian Anderson, Rajne Wells. You know, they've got Victoria Perez that came over, Kayla Knight. We've got Amanda Sapes on that older roster, Victoria Wright, Taisha Bowers out of Flint Southwestern. You know, we've got young ladies in that group that they're going to surprise some people. And our 2018 class, I'll be frank, they're loaded. I don't want to state this as a fact because I really don't know. It's tough enough to keep up with your own kids. But right now, I'm not sure that there's another club in the state of Michigan with as many 2018s with scholarship offers already. We've got five young ladies that have already been offered Division I scholarships, a couple of them with multiple offers, and we've got others in that group that are being recruited and taking visits, and so that group is loaded. We've got Maxine Moore, who just had an outstanding summer. She's going to be, you know, have a role at Country Day this year. We've got Jayla Richardson, Grayson Cockerham. You know, we've got Janaya Flowers, Jesse Bicknell. We've got, you know, the young lady Jada Hampton out of Lansing. But that group, Maddie Berry, I think that group is, I mean, it is so deep that I have to give credit to Coach McAllister with that group because you've got every kid in that roster, including a young eighth grader, Deja Tyson, who is was a starting point guard for playing up. She's a seventh grader, essentially last year playing up. But every kid on that team, if they continue to work hard, will have the opportunity to play Division I basketball. And so to be able to balance that roster and to be able to keep kids happy, and we had some late additions who are just outstanding people and outstanding players, the Petrie sisters out of Salem, who are way under the radar, who will make a name for themselves. And so with that type of talent, it takes a special coach, a special individual to be able to balance it and to make sure that the kids, you know, have a role and they have the opportunity to shine. And he's been able to do that, and all the kids are benefiting from it, and they're getting better. So, I mean, we got names for days, and we're going to have a special 2019 group that I have to, I guess, keep under the wraps for right now. But the young lady out of Ohio is going to be a special player, Kayla Johnson, who's a freshman and just very enthusiastic about what she brings to the table. But Destiny's father out of Flint Carmen Ainsworth, who's just a remarkable kid. She played up last year. She'll likely continue to play up, but you know we would at least have the flexibility if we wanted to play her with the 19 group to do it because she's actually playing up. So we're just thrilled about our program from top to bottom, including our middle school group. They've got a tournament starting this weekend, and as usual, I'll be sitting on courtside supporting those kids.
Wow, this is a slew of talent. You know, staying with the high school thing. What high school, you know, this season, what high school teams excite you? Like, or are you just going to, you know, just sit back and just watch, you know, all the teams? You know, does the season excite you, or do you have a few teams that's, you know, you're keeping your eye on?
Hey, E, you my man, but you setting me up, man. You setting me up. I got to keep my eye on all of them, brother. I got to keep my eye on all of them. They're you know, but in all honesty, we've seen some great teams, obviously. I've been a huge fan of Coach Marshall's over at Latham for years because, you know, just coincidentally I had a number of players that came through that program, and I'm expecting big things from that team, obviously, this year. There's a team out of Saginaw. We've got a couple of young ladies playing on Saginaw Heritage. They're young, but they're going to be very, very, very good. Flushing's going to be good. These teams I saw, there are some teams that are true sleepers that will – and I'm on right now, I guess, we're speaking primarily Class A, but there are some true sleepers out there that I believe, you know, having had a chance to play against them in fall leagues and summer leagues, you know, they're going to be dangerous. I think the Waterford Ketterings will be very, very good. Obviously, I've already stated Howell, Heartland. You've got some teams that on any given night, to be frank with you, and certainly in Class A, that's going to be, despite what obviously Latham brings back to the table, and I would think that, you know, they're capable of running the table entirely this year. But I'll tell you, they may have some you know, stiff competition because there are some good teams right here in Class A. Of course, I've got Jaleesha Terry, you know, so Jaleesha's a Flint Hamity kid, and they came within a hair of winning the state championship last year. But at the same time, the semifinal matchup that they had last year against Arbor Prep, you know, that team is loaded, and we've got a number of players playing on that team. So there are just some high quality teams out there that this is going to be fun to watch. We picked up a young lady from Muskegon, Mona Shores, and they're in my view, they're going to be good. I haven't seen a lot of them, but I just love Jordan Walker. She is remarkable. She's coming back from an ACL, but she's bouncing back, and I expect that, you know, by midseason at the latest, you'll see who she is. And she's already committed to Western Michigan, but I think she'll be a young lady who will make some noise this year.
Definitely not. Have you ever thought about coaching high school?
You know, I used to. In fact, I used to coach on the high school level, but due to my professional obligations on a day-to-day basis, it just wasn't, wasn't a very good mix for me personally. Although I did it probably at the junior high and high school level, probably a combined 7 years of it, and although I really enjoyed it actually miss it because you have more interactions with the kids, you're with them on a day-to-day basis for a longer period of time over several months, but the issue for me, with having to practice every day and typically right after school and then games during the week, the AAU schedule is, given, what I do for a living, the AAU schedule is much more conducive to my lifestyle. However, also being, having the role that I have with the Storm, coaching one particular high school team wouldn't allow me to totally fulfill what I believe my responsibilities are to our girls. And that simply is, if we ask a young lady to play for us and they travel to see us, they travel to practice with us during the year, and they are, making a commitment to drive to us, I think during the high school season I have a commitment to go support them at their high schools. And so although I'm, a lot of the local gyms, when I'm not in the local gym, I'm driving up to see Saginaw Heritage play, or I'm going down to Toledo to see a kid play, or this year I'll be going over to Muskegon to see Jordan play. And so that wouldn't be, conducive to my role, other than my profession, it wouldn't be conducive to my role with the Storm. So although I enjoy doing it, it just ultimately, you have to pick one at some point when you're in the position that I'm in.
Definitely. Now, I'm glad you said, there's so much time with high school coaches spent, because over the summer it was real interesting. It was just basically like a Twitter free-for-all, where AAU coaches finally took a stand. And there's I guess there was a big high school versus AAU coach debate off of some comments that Kobe Bryant said. Now, do you see a difference in development opportunities with high school and AAU coaches, or do you think, it's mostly the same and the development falls on any coach that's responsible for the kid?
Yeah, let me start by saying that anyone who's willing, whether they be high school or AAU, anyone who's willing to devote considerable time to assist young people in their development is all right with me. So whether you're an AAU coach, a high school coach, or whatever, if you're putting time in with people, young people that you can guide and help shape and move them on the path of, a life, then, I'm good with you. But in terms of, the difference between high school and AAU, with AAU coaches, we have 1 to 2 practices per week for 2 hours in which you're primarily working on team-related items because you're not in the gym every day. But on the development side, we have a responsibility to these young ladies because I don't think there's a kid in our program who doesn't have a personal trainer. And it's not that they all had them when they came to us, but it is almost a requirement. We don't, even on the conditioning side, we hold them to a standard of expectation that they're going to do it on their own, but we're going to know they're doing it because when you come to the gym and you can't keep up with what we're doing, then we know that you're not committed to that whole thought process of being responsible for your time. And so we're responsible for development. If we're setting a standard and expecting them to have trainers and expecting them to work on their left hand, although we don't have the hours in a 2-hour practice twice a week to work on those fundamentals as often as we would like, we know that there are places that they can get that, training and that type of development. And so we, during the summers, we make very sure that they, and even during the school year, in fact, and I'll go over and watch them train with their trainers. So we make sure that the young ladies are, we have to be honest with them about where they are in their development, where their weaknesses are, and we make sure that they are put in people's hands who are experts at what they do. And so we have trainers that are available to them. So in that regard, we're responsible for their development. On a high school level, there is more time perhaps to do that, but, in all fairness to high school coaches as well, they have 2 games per week once the season starts, and they're game planning and working on team stuff. And so ultimately, they probably have more time to do it, but in truth, the fact of the matter is when you want something and when you want to work on the individual aspects of your game, that ultimate responsibility rests with you through the guidance of your coaches, of course, and your trainer, and the time that you choose to spend on it when you're alone. I mean, when you I've got a young lady in Saginaw, Jessie Bignell. She gets up on her own, has her mom at a local gym at 6 o'clock. They work out before school. They get up, you know, hundreds of shots. She works on her ball handling. She's taking an online course for some type of ball handling, you know, skills. And so it's on each individual player, if we're being honest about this, because I see it no different than a band teacher. You know, a band teacher can be great in the summer. Band teacher can be great in the school. But if you really want to learn how to play that horn, you're going to go home and you're going to get busy and work on your craft. So, yeah, we have the responsibility to guide them and to give them the resources and the tutelage. But ultimately, the final responsibility rests with that young player. And we provide them the tools, but you can't do it for them.
That's a great insight, man. Well, Jeff, thank you for giving us your time, man. Good luck on the Adidas circuit, and good luck to your players during the high school season as well.
Hey, guys, you guys keep up the good work. I'll be tuning in, and, you know, it is really something that was needed, and we appreciate you guys giving us a chance to at least say a bit about who we are, but also to be a part of what you guys are doing. So keep it up.
Thank you so much, Jeff. Right. I catch you sitting course out of the popcorn, man.
Sounds good. All right, brother. Take care. All right.
All right. That was Jeff Taylor on the line with us, man. As I said, he's just a great guy in the community, man. If you listen to him talk just now, you understand why I think highly of him. Just an all-around good person, man. So if you're just tuning in, this is the Last Second Shot podcast, me and Eric Thomas. Yo, Eric.
What's up, man?
Man, what we getting into next?
Man, what we getting into now is, man, hey, you know how we do, you know, the five players list, you know, top five this or, you know, best five that. You know, let's take it to another gear and, you know, let's pick five players each who's going to have a big year this year.
Okay, we doing this pickup style? You go first, I go, then back and forth or what?
We're going to go back and forth.
Okay. So you go first or I go first? I go first because I'm the man.
Here you go.
Nah. All right. No, really. All right. So we'll call this the last second shot, the all last second shot team. And this is my team. So with the first pick, I'm taking Kiera Fletcher from Cousineau. I think her first 2 years in high school have been super slept on. I mean, she won MVP of her division as a freshman. And, I mean, she had a couple 30-point games last year, which, you know, that's just not normal. And she's just a special player. My first pick is Kiera Fletcher.
Man, you damn thief. But nah, I'm with the girl we mentioned a few times throughout the show already. Jessie Bignell from Saginaw Heritage. I mean, left hand kid, is athletic and you know elevates really high on her jumper. And she has a nice stroke. Is a good ball handler. I think she's gonna have a really big year this year. I love to watch her play, man. She's probably one of the most entertaining players in the state right now, in my opinion.
Okay. All right, so not a slept-on player at all that I'm going to pick, I don't think. You can consider her. Well, she is slept-on, but people know her talent. From the Southfield Lathrop Senior High School, Antoinette Miller. To me, she has to be in the discussion as a top three player in the state, regardless of class. Regardless of anything, I think she has to be regarded as one of the best players all around in the state. And it's crazy. Like if you talk to most people right now and you talk about a Miss Basketball race, they'll say Gonzaga Cook, which that's great because those are two great players. But I think Antoinette Miller is a dark horse for Miss Basketball. And you know how I am with dark horses. My dark horses usually go on to win, as you heard in the intro. So, Antoinette Miller.
I mean, that's a great pick. I think she is a little bit underrated. So that's a great pick, man. You know, she's a freaky handle. Jumper is money. She plays both ends of the floor really well. So, yeah, that's a very great pick.
And we're playing with the University of Cincinnati today.
Oh, yeah. Don't forget to mention that. Congrats to her on signing with the Bearcats. My next pick, I'm going to go to Renaissance High School, man. Sia Fraser. Not at all under discussed. She's committed to Penn State University. Real athletic kid, real solid frame. Knows how to find a way to the basket, man. Just knows how to put that ball in the bucket. And I think with Renaissance's schedule, they're playing a little bit tougher schedule this time around this year. So, you know, playing teams like Flushing and, they're going to play King. So teams like that, she has big games. You know, she could really not only elevate herself, but really elevate the level of play of Renaissance and attract more attention to Renaissance High School, man.
She absolutely put on a show against Mercy last year in a losing effort. But it was an absolute show. Her and Taylor Jones going back and forth was something to see. I think she ended with 39 or 37. And like I said, you don't see numbers like that in a high school game, especially not in girls, because, you know, coaches tend to be a little bit more conservative of how they play. But 39 points, and it didn't really take a lot out of her. Well, it probably did, but she made it look very easy. So that's a good pick. But my third pick, I am going to Westland, Michigan, and Wayne Memorial. I'm going to go with Camry Clegg. And I know that people are like, oh, you got 2 point guards. Listen, the kid is a great point guard, but she can score. She can literally get anywhere on the court. Like, it's amazing. If you saw her this summer, I had the opportunity to watch a few of her games with the All-Ohio team, and I saw her at a few All-American camps put on by Peach State Basketball. If you watch her play, it's just something special about her. She can get anywhere on the court, but she doesn't want to score. She can score, and she's proven that a few times that, hey, if I want to put my head down and get to the basket, I'll do it. If I want to pull up, I'll do it. But her first mind is, let me make everybody better. Let me find the open person, or let me pass somebody open. So I think, you know, she's transferring from Country Day to Wayne Memorial. So this is going to be her first year in the KLAA. I think it's going to be huge. I think it's going to be a huge season for her. I think maybe after the third game, she's probably – it's not a lot of scenarios where she doesn't get double-teamed.
I mean, yeah. You stole my pick again, but we're going to – I'm gonna forget that one, but no, Camry is a great, great, great point guard. Matter of fact, hey, I'll go as far as to say she's probably the second best point guard in this entire state. And I know that's probably a little bold to say, but hey, that's how we go. I mean, she's no lower than three, so. Yeah,
great pick,
man. I mean, huh?
Your Twitter DMs are blowing up right now.
somebody's definitely going to catch me on that one.
But if you pay attention, you know that she doesn't have. I mean, she has multiple Division I offers. I think, if I'm not mistaken, you know, it's so weary with the way that recruiting is reported. You know, for some reason it's kept a secret these days. But if I'm not mistaken, she has the most offers out of any 2018 prospect in the state. So, you know, it's not far-fetched to see why she – I mean, and we're talking about somebody who sparingly at Detroit Country Day before transferring. So it's not like we're the only people seeing that, so.
I mean, yeah. So it's on you. So like, oh, yeah. So you stole my other pick. So now I'm gonna go to Grosse Pointe, man. I'm going to go to Grosse Pointe, and I'm going to take another point guard, Nia Ahart, man. I'm going to go with Nia Ahart because now with Lola Ristovsky at U of D and Jessica Rosso at Oakland University, you know, they were the two big-time scorers and big-time shooters for that Liggett team, and Nia was really really allowed to play the game that she likes to play, which is, you know, distribute first. And now I think, you know, with some more of the scoring load put on her, I think you're going to see her rise to the occasion, and you're going to see her her numbers kind of jump, and she's going to be a little bit more aggressive this year, you know, alongside Kendall McConnell in the backcourt with her. They're going to make more noise than I think people expect them to make, especially Nia.
Definitely a talented guard. Okay, so I'm gonna keep it Detroit. I'm gonna keep it Detroit with this one. Haven't went into the city yet. I'm going with Rose Fall for the Detroit cast technicians. I think with Coach Tate being there, you know, a former assistant at Eastern Michigan. Listen, Rose Fall, she's a very quiet prospect. Not quiet as in she doesn't talk a lot. I really wouldn't know, but I mean she's a well kept secret. You don't hear a lot of people talk about her, and she is really good. She's athletic. She attacks the board. She has a few post moves that, you know, she's only going to add to that arsenal. But I'll tell you what, and we were at this game last year together against Country Day. She is a rim protector, and she's going to get the rebound. And, hey, she's athletic enough. I wouldn't be surprised if she threw a dunk down eventually.
You remember that day?
Yeah.
You remember that day at Country Day, man. The whole – she spun baseline and took off. I think the whole crowd just froze.
Healthy, bro.
Yeah, I mean, we really thought she got that high. We really thought she was going to put one down, so yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, I'm going with Rose Farr as my third person.
That's third or fourth?
Nope, that is fourth. Okay, so I think Tammy Clegg, Antoinette Miller, Kiera Fletcher, and Rose Farr. That's my fourth.
Okay, so I'm on my fourth now. And, this is getting hard now. I'm gonna
too
go
much
to,
talent.
A lot of talent. I'm gonna go to Bloomfield, man. I'm gonna go to Bloomfield and go with Amanda Sate. I mean, she, you know, last year she made a little noise because, you know, she put up some numbers against some respected teams, and she's slimmed down. Getting into that mode of, you know, I gotta unleash the beast. And you know, from what I hear and from what I've seen, she's looking like a beast now. I mean, she looks different, and she, you know, I think it's going to translate onto the court, her being in a lot better shape. And, you know, she's already 6'4", and she, you know, the instincts to just keep it up high and use her body and knows how to throw her weight around is really going to help that Bloomfield team out a lot, you know. And I think, with her playing the way I think she's going to play, I think Bloomfield's going to turn some heads. You know, A.A. White, I think they're going to win that division led by her.
Definitely. So for my fifth, here's the dilemma I'm running into. I picked two guards. I picked a wing player. I picked one post player. So really, my fifth pick could be anything. Really.
Just don't say my pick again.
Could be any, it could be any position. And there's a few obvious ones that I'm trying to stay away from because it's like, okay, that's not fair. Or, you know, that's the first pick. So, you know, obviously I'm going with very good players who aren't getting a lot of recognition. So with my fifth pick, I think I am going to go with Amari Chikwe back in Westland, in Wayne Memorial, the 6 foot guard. She's something special, man. She's not a guard. She's a wing player, excuse me. But she can play post. She can take you off the dribble like a guard. She has a nice 3-point shot. And so she's really good. She's really good. This summer she boasts an offer from Seton Hall, and one from Toledo, as well. So I mean it's and you know if you pay attention on Twitter, it looks like her recruiting is only heating up. So Amara Chikwe is gonna be my final spot. And I feel like my team is just set. I have 2 point guards, both who can score it. I got two defensive anchors who can play wing, you know, one can play wing and post, and then I got a solid anchor in the post.
My final pick. Amara was a great pick. Amara was a really great pick, and she's gonna show a lot of people what she can do this season. Wow, man. There's a lot of talent. And I'm just like you. I don't want to be obvious. I'm gonna go with Kaylee Wasco, man. I know I just said I don't want to be obvious, but and Kaylee Wasco is kind of obvious, but I think what she brings to the table is sort of overlooked, in my opinion. But aside from that, I just think she's going to have an even better year. She's already looked at as one of the top recruits in a loaded 2017 class. You know, I think she's going to have one heck of a year. I think she's just going to prove that point even more, playing for Millendale, with Ellie Taylor, you know, spreading defense where shooting. I think the combination of her and Wasco will be amazing. You know, Wasco will really be able to operate freely, and Wasco can step out and shoot the jumper as well. So she's not just a big body down low. She has moves. She can, you know, step out and make, you know, bigs who aren't comfortable playing out there and on an island really make them really uncomfortable because she can stretch the floor out. So I think she's going to have a great year.
Definitely. All right, so just recap your team.
Okay, so I picked Big Mo from Heritage, Wasco, A. Hart, Saya, and who was my other pick again? I'm mad at myself. I just forgot like that.
Wow.
I just said her name. Damn, I can't remember. I feel bad for not remembering like this. Man, I just cheated a player out of a good mention. I really can't remember who I picked.
So it was Nia Ahart. We're gonna figure this out. We got time.
So we do. We got a lot of time.
then we had the guard from Saginaw Heritage.
Right.
Then we had Ms. Frazier.
All right.
We have Miss Wasco.
Amanda Say.
Amanda
Say. Just remember. So I know I got a real solid team. Ooh. Yeah.
Definitely. Both teams really, really talented. But now you said something interesting when you were speaking about Miss Wasco. about how she's one of the most talented players in a 2017 class where it's wide open. Like, I feel like, and this is me talking really uneducated, well, not uneducated, but with a warped view. I only can see the Midwest, really. I feel like the 2017 class in Michigan might be one of the deepest in the country.
You're not off base by saying that. I don't think so anyway. I mean, we've talked about this off air. We think, you know, a Deja Church, a Kiera Fletcher, and the Destiny Pitt should end up being in the top 100 when it's all said and done on ESPN.
I feel like they should be in the Super 60 on ESPN Super 60 right now.
I second that all the way.
But, with that being said, I feel like if you make an All-Star 2017 team and you put them against just about anybody, they can go toe-to-toe with just about anybody. And you see it in the AAU circuits. You see the players in Michigan go and dominate, especially in that 2017 class. You see Deja Church is just piled on offers. I can't even keep up with how many there has been, just piling up offers. And then you have Destiny Pitts, who Big Ten offers has been reported constantly. You have Tyler Bennett, her recruitment has picked up, and you know, she definitely has talked about some of the offers she's received online as well. So, and that's just some of them. We have Kamari McDaniel. She just received a Penn State offer. So you just look at the 2017 class in Michigan, and when it's all said and done, there might be 30 Division I, at the least 30 Division I kids in this class. If my math isn't off, I think there's 30 kids right now in the 2017 class with at least one Division I offer.
Yeah, I think it's about 30, somewhere close to that. And that team, class is so loaded, it's so hard to, say, this, we really try to stay away from, saying who's better than who, because, any one of them is liable to go off with a great stretch. And, at 1 minute you're saying this, the next, 2 weeks go by, 3 weeks go by, and you're the next month you're saying something completely different about that class, as far as, who is where. So, yeah, that class is definitely one of the best classes Michigan has probably ever seen.
Definitely. It's really reminiscent of 2005, really, where you just have so much firepower. Like, I honestly would hate to, and this is looking ahead a little, but I would hate to even be on the coaches, I guess all the coaches just vote for Miss Basketball now, but I would even hate having that vote, because 2017, there's too many players that are good where it's like, oh, well, they have a say at it. They should be talked about. Whereas, like, usually, it's easy to get the candidates down and then it's a hard vote. We're looking at in 2017, there might, it might be a fight just to even nominate somebody for Miss Basketball, let alone who gets the vote.
We keep saying, oh, well, it's so hard. It's going to be a free-for-all battle of who's, going to get the votes, going to get the nomination, because, it's so many great players in that class. It's so many, almost too many to count, and any one of them, can go off for a great year. You might have four of them, where it's like, you got to flip a coin for each one. It's like, heads this, tails that, just to whittle down the list. you got to go from 35, probably 30, 35 by this time next year to 5. And that's going to be really, really hard.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So, I mean, yeah, it's so interesting because when talking about the best players in the state, you know, we've kind of moved, whereas like we're approaching this. And I don't want to throw shots here, but we're approaching this Miami Heat approach to high school, where it's like all of the best players play on the same team. But what's interesting is in the 2017 class, you don't really see that too much. When talking about these different players, they're everywhere. You have some in Saginaw, you know, the mid Michigan region. Then you have some 2017s in the Metro Detroit area. And then you can go out west and find a few of them. So and that's what's going to make this really, really interesting. Is in this class, I mean, it's really not too many of the top prospects that play with each other. You know, I mean, I guess I can think of, you know, just a few that play together. But overall, if you're really paying attention in this 2017 class, it's going to be a dogfight. And it's going to be more interesting because the top people can go against each other, so to speak. And I mean, probably won't play for the award, but it's different. You see that difference.
I mean, yeah, definitely different. I mean, like you just said, you know, a lot of these, you know, good kids are teaming up with each other and things like they're starting to see more of that, like you said, Miami Heat dynamic. Well, you know, this class is definitely different where, you know, your point about them playing for the award, it might come down to that. It might come down a Pitts against a Church or a McDaniel against a Fletcher. It might come down to that. You know, it might come down to that. It might have to. It might come to, you know, for a Class A championship, you might see Kaylee Wasco against Deja Church for the state title. It might be decided then, you know. It might come down to that.
But see, that's the great thing about it. Who would want to voluntarily watch, you know, just hypothetically, an all-star lineup where it's, you know, against, you know, some players who aren't really all that invested into basketball. You know, like where it's just like, okay, this is just a fun thing that I do to pass time. Who wants to watch that? Like, I love it. I think this 2017 class is going to be one of the last classes that you see where they're this spread out because, you know, open enrollment and all the other stuff. But, you know, it's a breath of fresh air to see the competitiveness of these teams.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, this class is so ultra competitive. So ultra competitive. I love that spirit. I love that drive, that hunger. You know, all of them. And there's no malice and team against each other. They just want to be, you know, they just want to say, hey, I'm nice too. You know, you nice, but I'm nice too. You know, and I love it. And it brings the teams that they play for as well. Because not only, you know, do they have a chip on their shoulder? Now your whole team has one. They want to, you know, stand behind you and help you through that point. So yeah, I love this atmosphere right now.
Definitely, I feel like it's gonna be. I feel like this is looking ahead a little, but I feel like that's gonna be really special. But I mean, just looking in the 2016 class, there's a few narratives or storylines that are possible this upcoming year. I mean, you're looking at Kaiser Gondrezic. She's in her last year at Benton Harbor, and I feel like she's going to be really good. And it's crazy because you know, last year we bid farewell to Erica Davenport, who ended her career as probably one of the top five dominant players ever in Michigan, just off of stats alone. I mean, and then you look at all she did for her Clarkson team. We're looking at Gundrazic playing for the first time in her high school career without Calabria, her older sister who's committed to the Michigan State University, or that actually plays, I should say, for the Michigan State University. We're looking at Kaiser. She's put up huge numbers in her time at Benton Harbor. She's done some amazing things. Like, I think last year it was a 55-point game, and that's with Calabria still on, you know, still there. I think this year we might see something special. We might see a hurt in her career with maybe breaking a points record.
Maybe.
Anything.
Maybe. I mean,
anything
she
is possible.
She can't put that ball in the basket. Yeah, anything is possible because she can't put that ball in the basket, and that's one thing. If she can't do anything else, but she can do other things. But the one thing that sticks out, Kaiser Gundrazic gets buckets. She's a bucket getter. She's a scorer.
She is a scorer. She is a pure scorer. And it's, I'll tell you what, the first time I saw her, she was a sophomore. And I want to say it was the round ball. And everything she threw up, it just seemed like man, what's is there any guarding her? What is, like, perfect defense doesn't exist. But I think this year that narrative is going to be great. I think the race between her and Madrika Cook is going to be interesting for two reasons. One, they were AAU teammates this summer on a very good crossover team, Michigan crossover team. But also, Madrika Cook happens to be committed to play for Michigan State University.
Yeah.
We know that Kaiser has since committed to the University of Michigan. Could this be a friend rivalry in the making? You know, hey, I beat you for Miss Basketball. Hey, that's okay. I won the Big Ten Championship. Hey, I went number one in the WNBA draft. Hey, I went, you know, so like is this the beginning of that? It's just something interesting to keep a tab on. I mean, obviously, we don't know exactly how everything's going to shape out, but it's just one of the possibilities of a brewing storyline or narrative.
I mean, most definitely. I mean, most definitely. You know, you're two very dominant players. I mean, both put up some gaudy, ridiculous numbers in their careers. So I don't expect anything different this time around. And plus, with the new role Kaiser's got to play without Calabria being there, I think another narrative that is going to play itself out with Kaiser is the fact that Calabria is gone. And, you know, I think some people is kind of saying that, you know, she got a lot of those points because her sister was there. You know, I think she wants to prove, hey, I can put up 40 and 50 with or without Calabria being here. You know, it doesn't, you know, my sister's a great player in her own right, but, you know, dang it, I'm great as well. You know, and she's going to really take that out on a lot of people this year.
Anybody who will want to wake up that sleeping giant, God bless. I wouldn't even think about heckling her because I've seen things get ugly for people. I've seen games where it just gets downright ugly. So, you know, and we're talking about somebody who was highly recruited, you know, as a freshman. Like, her sophomore year, we were talking about offers from Notre Dame, Baylor. Her mom's alma mater, I believe, offered as well, Louisiana Tech. So, you know, we're not talking about anybody who just, you know, played in their district and has success. We're talking about somebody who's went to state after state and dominated. So, yeah, you know, if people want to say that she was freed up because of her sister, that's fine. But I know enough to say that more than likely not true. Like, did it probably help her get some looks? Yes. But is that the sole reason why she's had success? I'm inclined to say no.
I wouldn't say that, you know, I'm very, you know, to, I'm like you, to anybody who says that, I just hope you're not on her schedule. I just hope you're not, you know, looking across her when tip-off comes around. And I really hope you're not, because, you know, one thing is for sure, she plays naturally with a chip on her shoulder. So now you give her some extra incentive. You know, she's every night she's possible for 40, probable for 50. So I really wouldn't want to, you know, light a fire under her.
Definitely. Now we're winding down on our show. It's actually been a really, really good first show for us, man. We had Jeff on and he gave us some perspective. And if you're just tuning in, this is the Last Second Shot podcast, our very first episode, me and Eric. So we want to thank everybody for listening. You got any final thoughts, Eric?
I would like to send a special shout out to Asia Blanton Ford from Mill and Dial, and you know, her and Kamari McDaniel. I want to send a special shout out to both of them, you know, recovering from major knee injuries, I want to say. We know how difficult that can be. You know, I hope they come back and they come back 100%, because, you know, it's good to see good players do great things, especially young ladies do special things. So I really want to, you know, send my special regards to them.
Definitely. All right, yeah, I just want to thank everybody who tuned in to the live recording of this podcast. We're going to do it live every week, so if you want to be a part of our podcast, don't be afraid to call in, because, you know, every week on Wednesdays from 7:30 to around 8:30, might go over sometime, we're going to be here. I just want to leave everybody with this thought, man. it's a popular quote, but it's, what a tangled web we weave when we first, but that's Sir Walter Scott, man. Y'all be safe. Have a good week. We'll see y'all next week on Wednesday.
Wow.